Who's wrong and who's wronger? In this corner, followed by millions, James the Exploding Unicorn Breakwell. And in that corner, ignored by millions, Steve Dash Rinko Levin.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome back to a Let's Pretend It's Friday Morning, because that's when we call edition of Wrong and Wronger. We are two of the studliest hunky beefcakes around. I'm talking about me and the dog, of course, and we got Breakwell with us too. But I am so delighted to be here on this Friday morning, James. How about you?
I am delighted that we are finally making a difference in someone's life. I don't know if you heard about this. Well, actually, you did, because you're the one who told me. But our little podcast, listened to by no one, that has no influence anywhere, almost ruined someone's entire day. Because Mrs. Steve would not let us record at 9. She insisted that we record immediately to get this burden out of the way of the rest of her life. So here we are. I was going to go and have to rush through the gym to try to get back by the arbitrarily chosen time of 9, which you picked. And instead, you're like, oh, no, we have to get this out of the way. And I said, let's just do it. Let's do it right now before I get out the door, which is why I am wearing the same gray hoodie I do every day on the way to or from the gym, because I am terrible.
No, I just assume you wear the same clothes every day, and I can't imagine what your socks look like. Probably have to break them over your knee to get them into the wash machine. But yeah, this is, I call this show Vegetables, because it's what we have to get through before we get to the ice cream. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. It is the opposite of dessert. You are here for your punishment. But
But James.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Oh, no. Speaking of making a difference in people's lives, I have a few comments from YouTube that suggest we may have north of one viewers.
What? You got to check your math on that. I do not like these numbers. I cannot believe them. They are upsetting.
Well, in the aftermath of our huge 300th episode celebration last week, which was viewed by ones of people worldwide, we actually got a number of comments of people checking in from all over the world. Now, the number was not a big number, James. Let me just go out dispel that myth on the front end. But I do want to say, I have three that I would like to read. Ooh. If you would like to be an audience to our listener comments.
I would like nothing more. Please proceed.
All right. So three brief ones here. Helen MJ writes, greetings from your only, and she put a question mark after that one, but I'm not going to challenge it, your only UK listener. Now, James, the UK covers several countries, as you are aware. They cover like Great Britain and Ireland and Germany and Russia. And I don't know what else is over there, but the point is, I think Venezuela, but we have a UK listener, Helen MJ, James.
She must have gotten lost on her way to tea or something. I don't know how somebody from the UK would possibly care about the septic situation on Rattlesnake Ranch, but yet she is here and wants to let us know that she's here, silently judging us from afar. So we are delighted to have you, and I am sorry we have wasted your time with our very poor podcast.
Well, James, we're going to have to spin the globe a little bit and go from Western Europe to Eastern Europe, which include countries like Peru and South Africa, which is weird that they have Africa right in the... But this one, it's user-KM6ED5LL3K. I'm thinking this has got to be a bot, but I don't care, because that person wrote, I'm from the Czech Republic... Speaking of making a difference, James, and I learn English from your great debates.
Oh, my. There's a lot to unpack there. So first of all, this is how you get world wars. You educate people on the worst possible content on the internet and just set them loose in the world. Second of all, by heritage, you know, the weird genealogy Americans do that nobody else in the world does. I think I'm more Czech than anything. I've got all sorts of, so I could be a distant relative of this person. And the final thing is, they're not real. I don't know what rational person would make a username with that. And also, when's the last time we had a debate? So I think this is probably an AI comment, seeking engagement. And now we have engaged, and thus our AI overlords have won.
Oh, James, maybe this was you. You awakened from a fever dream. You had just poured like half a bottle of NyQuil down the hatch. And then through some kind of somnambulistic mission, you posted this comment as user KM6ED5LL3K. And you thought that's the name, that's like your alien name or the galaxy or the star from which your people come. I'm not convinced this is not you, Breakwell.
Awaking from a fever dream is a good analogy. I mean, that's what I did to get here. I awoke from a dream where I had a massive leg wound, and I'm like, whew, thank goodness that wasn't real, only to receive a text to let me know that my day would start off recording this podcast. So I'm waiting to wake up for a third time and hopefully get back to real life, which has neither leg wounds nor this podcast.
And then you heard my voice and you thought, did I die? Am I in heaven? And I know how it goes. I know. But speaking of heavenly, we have one more comment from someone who tried to give us a compliment.
Ooh.
And it's from a listener named Dawn Santiago. And she wrote, I've been with you guys since almost the beginning.
Mm.
I don't know what that means. But it sounds like she has reserved, here's how I interpret it, she has reserved a cache of episodes from early in Wrong and Wronger's career so that she can go back and sample them like a nice bottle of fine wine from the 1700s. You don't just pop that baby open and guzzle it. You wait for a special occasion and then you savor it. That's what we've got deep in our library, James.
I would be scared to venture that far back in the archives. Who knows what you would find? That's a there be dragon situation. But I'll posit not alternate theory. I think maybe she's a YouTube exclusive viewer, and I don't know that our earliest podcasts are on YouTube. Back in the day when we hadn't mastered technology, you were calling me from a landline through some sort of weird like connection board that had those operators you see on TVs in 1950s movies plugging in cords.
995.
Yeah. So that's I don't even know where you find those anymore. You have to go out to like SoundCloud or I don't know. Gizmo or Gadget. I don't even know what those services are called anymore because we're in the modern age now where we post on YouTube. And, I wonder if we ever get shadow banned or demonetized. Like, people always worry, like, I can't say certain things in the first 15 minutes or YouTube will do this or that. But when you have no listeners and viewers to start with, and when you have no money, what can YouTube do to you, really? We are the truth tellers. We are invincible. They can't hurt us any more than we've already hurt ourselves. And that's why we've established this amazing archive of just shy of 300 episodes, because there are some that you'll have to go out on the rest of the internet to find.
I remember with one of my rock star books, I don't know if you know who David Geffen is, but he's part of SKG, the big production company with Steven Spielberg and Jeffrey Katzenberg. But anyway, David Geffen ran, and I think may still run, one of the biggest record labels in the world. So one of the books I wrote with a rock star, this is going to relate to your comment. He and David Geffen went at it back in the 80s, and he had all kinds of fun things to say about David Geffen. And I remember saying to him, Ron, we got to pull this back a little because we're going to get sued by David Geffen. And his answer was, are you kidding? He would rather sue someone with a lot more girth than what I've got. And I thought, that's kind of what Breakwell is saying. YouTube could look at us and our content and listen to some of the truth that we spiel. And yet they're going to say, not worth our time to shadow ban because that requires AI to push two buttons. And we have better allocations of its time.
It's kind of like if you want to blow up a Death Star. You don't send in your big capital ships. You send in your tiny fighters that everyone else ignores that are so small the anti-aircraft fire can't even hit them. That's us. We're going for that torpedo shaft. We're gonna shoot it down, blow up the whole thing, but in the process, we're going to lose a few good men and a few not so good men. I don't know where I was going to this analogy, but the point is, Steve, you're old and not looking so healthy. And someday I will have to carry on this podcast without you, where I will just talk to no one by myself.
Oh, God, I can't wait for that day to arrive. But Don Santiago, thank you for being with us almost through the beginning. And hey, by the way, I'm glad you brought that back. I thought... And it's been a few years now, but didn't you go back and upload everything from our library? It took you like a whole weekend and you were complaining the whole time that you had to do it.
All of these things sound like something I would do, especially the complaining. But I can't verify any of that. Okay, no, I could easily verify that. I could just check our YouTube channel and see if it starts with episode 1 or if it starts with like episode 25. Will I do that? No. Mm. It will remain a mystery for all time.
Well, maybe one of our alert listeners, Revolver 17 something or other, comments almost every week. And so he seems like he is a YouTube super fan, unlike Judy P, who is an everything we have ever done super fan.
This is
but
true.
I will bet he can run back through the library, through our Wrong and Wronger Rolodex, if you will, and see if we go back to number one. I would bet that you did that, James, because... You're somebody, here's James Breakwell in a nutshell. If you look at our titles for our episodes, they're all done in a very specific way and there is no variation. So it's EP space, the number of episode space, hyphen space, and then the title. And I remember back in the 100s, I either missed a space or I missed the hyphen and you were like, hey, would you mind going back and redoing the title so that it matches all the others? Like, you like things to be clean and uniform. You are a plumb and square kind of guy. So I would imagine if we had 25 episodes that weren't up, that would drive you insane until you had everything up and it was clean, plumb, and square.
I'm going to offer an alternative explanation for that. First, I've got some news. This was something that took me literally 10 seconds to verify. You are correct. I uploaded episode 1 6 years ago. I believe those early episodes, they don't have any video. They're just sound. I think our first video was the Star Wars versus Star Trek debate penalty, where it's got you and your daughter and I think an in-law or your mother, probably an in-law.
Oh, it's my mom.
Yeah, and there's you sing Bieber. So early on, the only videos were penalty video, and it looks like the first actual debate was episode 33 that was on video, and I appear to be wearing a Batman mask during it. I applied for visual humor. At that point, I thought people cared what we looked like, and I quickly realized that was incorrect, and I probably tried less hard. Anyway, with the titling, when you pump out as much garbage as I do, you just have to be able to keep track of it. And if you don't have a system, and somebody's like, hey, do you have this thing? You'll never know if you have it. And either if you label it correctly, you can instantly find your garbage without wasting more time in your life. If you don't have it labeled correctly, you can't find it. And you might have to make your garbage for a second time, which is a fate worse than death. So really, it is my laziness that causes me to take an extra half a second to label them the same so I can easily find them and categorize them, like right now when I found these old episodes that should have been burned and never uploaded to the internet.
You know, the positive takeaway that I'm going to pull from that statement you just made is that you anticipate there may be a time where you have to go back and find one of our episodes to either present to somebody in power or to, for your own listening pleasure, go back and take a second spin through memory lane.
If you had me strapped down in an interrogation room at some CIA black site and you wanted to break me, what you would do is you would play our episodes in order, starting with episode 1, and you would make me listen to my own voice, and even worse, your voice, and like by halfway through episode 1, I'd be done. I'd tell them anything they want to know.
You know, those early penalty videos are gold. James. In fact, you had one. I can't remember which one it was, but you had one that cleared like 25,000 views. Like our YouTube penalty videos, that one where my mom shamed me, that first one we ever did, that one, I think that was around 10,000. And then me singing Justin Bieber in an opioid-induced haze after my surgery, that one was pretty good. And if people didn't watch it through to the end, go back and find it, because Breakwell and his daughters make a cameo appearance as Ludacris. And it's fabulous. It's fabulous. But those were internet gold, James. I think you should start doing those again.
Yeah, just me. As if I would ever lose a debate. And looking at here, these pictures, man, we had an episode 52, the anniversary episode, where we celebrated. I'm holding up champagne. Like, we thought we were, well, I don't know what we thought we were doing. I don't think we ever thought, which is why we're in the predicament we are now. Yeah, the 24,000 videos. So there was a time, a million years ago, when I would post things on Twitter and people would click on them. Now, I quickly abused their trust, and after three or four times, they're like, well, I'm never clicking anything again. So it's a shame I never directed them to anything that would make me money. But yeah, there was, and now if you post something on X, the algorithm buries your comment and nobody's left there anyway. And also the website's called X, so who's going to be there? So I don't have the ability to drive traffic anywhere for any reason, and I don't know that I even have any traffic left to drive. This is like a post-apocalyptic social media empire. But yeah, once upon a time, I shared a link to that. I think it was in the Napoleon Dynamite dance. And you are correct.
Is that
24,000 views. And what did 24,000 views get us? Exactly what zero views get us. It was not life-changing, didn't get us any money, didn't get us a sustained audience. But it exists, and it was out there. And at one point in time, 24,000 human beings wasted the precious seconds of their life to see me in a Napoleon Dynamite outfit dancing with some of my girls.
And they were young. My God, your kids have grown up so much, James. It's been frightening watching you post over the years.
Yeah, it is upsetting when people get older, because I stay the same age forever, so I don't understand how time can be passing around me when I remain preserved in place, eternally youthful and beautiful.
Well, and I'm sure the head injury probably facilitated that point of view. We'll
I guess I'm burying the lead here. So we're out here ruining our day, starting it off in the worst possible way, and then doubling down on that misery by going down memory lane to all of our past misfortunes. But why are we doing this at this early hour? What does Mrs. Steve have to do that's so important and that involves you, the most useless of all human beings, that we had to rearrange our very important schedules?
Well, if anyone wants to click on one of my social medias, I was trying to record a video out on the back porch, and Mrs. Steve was putting a brisket on the smoker and kept clanking the lid of the smoker. And she was harshing my buzz, Breakwell. But then she announced that she's missing one of the seasonings that she needs to put in the wood chips so that she can smoke the brisket all day. So we have to go to breakfast early so that she can go to the grocery and buy some of whatever spice she needs to make the brisket.
This is a fascinating series of events. I had many follow-up questions. Why? I guess you have a unique marriage in that your wife is the meat smoker. Generally, that is a man hobby. That's one of the stereotypical man hobbies. Like, past a certain age, the meme is that you either have to get really into World War II or really into smoking meat. I chose World War II. Your wife chose smoking meat. I don't know what you chose, and I don't know what that says about you.
I chose happiness is what I chose, where I sit in my underpants in the recliner and just pray for a swift death. That's what I do most of the weekend and most of the week, come to think of it. But no, Mrs. Steve realized early on in our relationship, this is even pre-marriage, that if cooking was left to me, she would have been dead long ago. So she has been, and she likes cooking anyway. And she actually, for being a girl, she likes grilling too. Oh. So she makes sure that I stay fed, and I make sure that she still has money to pay for the meat, which is requiring me to work more and more, because the meat doesn't change, but the expense of the meat continues to change in a staggering and haunting way.
My marriage took a opposite but parallel course. I don't know how those two things both be true. So I took over the cooking, which is not necessarily traditional in marriage because my wife was not as hungry as I am. With animals, there's such a thing as being called food motivated, where you just do anything for that dog treat. Like, that's me. Like, my life revolves around food. I'm never full. There's always more room for something else. And we get home from work, and she just sit down and chill. And if I didn't take action, we might not eat till 7:30 or 8, by which point I would be starving or mildly peckish. You know, you never know. But I didn't let it get that far, so I just started cooking, and I never stopped. Also, I don't know, it's always kind of wild to me when small people take over as the cooks of the family. It's like they spend hours and hours crafting the perfect food, and then they eat like two bites of it. Like, if I'm going to spend time preparing something, the amount I eat of it is going to be measured in pounds. Like, that's the quantity. That's the reward I want. So I just imagine Mrs. Steve, who was not a big person, spending hours and hours, probably cooking half of a pig in there or half of a cow. I don't remember what animal you're roasting today. And at the end of it, slicing off two tiny pieces and be like, oh, boy, I'm so full. I can't possibly eat anymore. To which I think, what's the point? If I ate that little food, I would probably just eat, like, tasteless tofu or something, just the blandest way to get calories. Because what's the point? At that point, you have no stomach space anyway. So why tease yourself with flavor? Why not just drink some food paste and be done with it?
James, the key to my marriage being a success is that I have found a woman who it doesn't take much for her to feel satisfied. So let me just leave it at that. No, I walk through the door and dinner's ready. It's just it's a lovely combination that we have, she and I.
How do you time that out, though? Because your commute can vary by like 4 hours, depending on if people in Tennessee remembered how to or not to drive.
I think she knows how much time it will take to prepare the food. Now, if there's some kind of gnarly traffic tie-up, I will text her while I'm sitting still on the freeway, praying again for that swift death, although this time wearing pants. But in general, she knows about how much time it takes. And if there's any question, now we have trackers on our phones. Although she informed me yesterday that she doesn't have me on her Live 360 app. So apparently my whereabouts is a little less important to her than to children. But I think she can time it well enough that she is able. If I get tied up, she just goes ahead and eats. Or if I'm late, she goes ahead and eats and then just has food sitting in the oven waiting for me to get home. But for the most part, if I get home on time, it's ready when I walk through the door.
That is something. I'm actually impressed that she's invested in your survival at all. If I were her, I'd probably be trying to slowly starve you out. But everybody has a slightly different strategy. So your adult children then, they let you track their locations. They have nothing to hide from you.
Well, the boy is still in college, which dad is paying for a large chunk of that. So I think, I don't know. Moms never stop being moms, so she still worries about him and keeps track, especially when he's driving to and from Rattlesnake Ranch.
Now, do you track your daughter's location as well?
No.
Okay.
At least I don't.
But like for your son, it's like, okay, he's still in Louisiana. Still in Louisiana. Like you're not going to, unless you're like tracking individual buildings. I mean, maybe you don't want to know which bar lets in people who are under 21. maybe some things are just best left unsaid. And you have your own track record, which it's a good thing that he doesn't ever watch any of our episodes because you've confessed multiple times to Miller Lighting your way out of your undergraduate degree before writing the path and becoming the I was going to say upstanding person. I'm just going to say person you are today. I don't know why you would expect anything less than him from him. You have instilled with him the genetic disposition for partying greatness, followed by a lifetime of mediocrity. And I think he should embrace that.
Well, from the few things that he has let slip out during the course of casual conversation, it sounds like he is well down the path of making his father's legacy proud. But he's still getting A's and B's in college, so more power to him. That doesn't necessarily reflect the results that his father received at the somewhat aforementioned Marquette University in 1985.
You know, if there's ever one time to destroy your body, it's probably when you're young enough to recover from that destruction. You know, when back when all your internal organs still work, back when you still have cartilage. Now, the question is, did our bodies stop working because we destroyed them, or did they stop working because they were going to stop working anyway, and we were right to abuse them in the way we did? I will leave the listener and viewer with that philosophical question today, and we can pack this one away in the time capsule again, putting it up on YouTube for future generations to also not watch.
Well, I guess that is my cue to walk us out of here, as Breakwell has to get to the gym and try to chisel that physique into something resembling an extra on the movie Pumping Iron from 1975 with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Lou Ferrigno and Franco Colombo. Man, I was into bodybuilding back then. But until we meet again, this is Steve Olivas, Dr. Steve, for James, the exploding, the ripped unicorn Breakwell, saying thanks for watching, thanks for listening. Be careful what you do in college, because it is going to come home to roost at some point when you're old and feeble. And until we meet again, remember, as always, two wrongs can't make a right.